going to go ahead and get started this morning. It's good to see everybody out.
Yeah.
On this beautiful July day. We're going to start with our scripture reading. We're going to read together from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23 from the New Living Translation. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by the means of Christ's blood on the cross.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the image that you've given us to become more like you, to become more perfect. Even if we can't be on this earth, we can with you. So, Lord God, just fill us up and let us do what we came to do today. And let's praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning, y'all.
The word says, the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. That's how we fight our battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
What we're doing tonight?
This is how I fight my battles.
When you think you're lost,
it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Hey.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Oh.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I find. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles.
Isn't that a beautiful thing that we don't have to fight our own battles? That God, He's gonna fight them for us. All we need to do is show up, right?
Thank you.
This morning that when we're born again, we have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So when we sing, "This is your house," we're singing to God. He lives in us. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
All right, and it's offering time.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Come on, say that loud. You are good. Come on, clap your hands and shout if you believe it tonight. Come on, everybody.
thankful that when God's people come together, be it whatever nation or tongue you came from, it's a family reunion.
Amen.
And we get to worship God. We're going to start communion, and Pastor's going to come forward for that.
Amen. How's everybody this morning?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Nicole. Enjoyed all the pics of the past. Amen. This is that communion. This is communion time. This, what this means is, this is where we get to remind ourselves, and this is where we get to remember that we are part of the body of Christ, that we belong to Him, that His blood was shed for us, that God made a brand new covenant for us. The new deal is what you could call it. In the Old Testament, we had to burn up things, make a ton of sacrifices. Most of us, when we read those things, can't even hardly remember. But this communion is brand new. Amen?
Amen?
This is God's new covenant with us, made through the shed, that the blood that was shed on Calvary for us. Amen?
Amen.
On the night that the Lord was betrayed, He took the bread.
Yes.
And He broke it. And He said, take and eat. This is My body, which is given for you. Let us all eat together. After that, He took the cup. And He said, this is My blood, a sign of the new covenant that God is making with all mankind, that whosoever believes in Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection will be forever made right with God. Let us all drink together. And the church said,
amen. Amen.
Any questions?
And as we remember Communion Sunday, let us remember our Lord's sacrifice. Continue to pray for Deaconess Lisa Thornton and the Frierson family, Deaconess Anita Chambers and family, Loretta's daughter Kimberly and family, our Runner for Christ Ministries mothers, Runner for Christ Ministries members, and the government at all levels. Thank you. We can always depend on God.
Yeah.
We have hope.
Yeah.
We have hope in Him.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But we have to always remember that we should celebrate our dependence on Jesus, because He's got us. All right, so Pastor's going to continue this morning in his sermon series, the book of James, and he's on part 8. He's asked me to read chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. So that again, that's James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It is written, "Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about forgiveness of many sins. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of His great word. Blessed indeed we are, for we have heard and read the word, but I'm learning that even more blessings await us if we are doers of the word, if we do what God tells us to do. A few weeks ago, Pastor O preached from verses 1 to 12 of James chapter 5, where he elaborated on the word blessed, telling us that it means happy are you.
Yeah.
Don't you want to be happy?
Yeah.
Okay. Then let's follow the godly advice we received. Last time he preached, living on purpose and including God in everything we do. Well, that's not all. There's more. As you heard me read, Pastor O is continuing where he left off, starting at verse 13 of chapter 5. He's now, as Crystal noticed, on part 8 of this series, moving towards the end, maybe, question mark. So we know that the most exciting stage of a race is moving closer to the finish line. So buckle up, everyone, and pay attention. Repeat this after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Break it down for us.
Break it down for us.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon Spiritual. I just appreciate that. How's everybody doing this morning? Again. Amen. Somebody say yeah a little bit more. Everybody say wonderful.
Wonderful.
Amen. Amen. Good deal. Good deal. Let us pray. Lord God, wow, who's still on this side? Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today because you let us come in here again to praise you. Father, we think it's a little thing to get from one Sunday to the next, but the devil, if he had his way, would have killed us any one of the days that we had, that you brought us through. He came to you, Father, seeking permission slip to slam each and every one of us, because Jesus, you told Peter that the devil has desired to sift your disciples, and we are your disciples like wheat. But you prayed for us that our faith would fail not. And so, Father, we thank you for faith that works. It worked well enough to get us from last Sunday to this Sunday. And we thank you for your loving kindness and your mercy, because you did that for us just because you wanted to. We can't deserve anything from you, but you give us everything that we don't deserve. And we thank you for that. Lord, help us to, as we conclude the book of James today, to learn to memorize these books so that you can bring them to our remembrance when we need them. Help us to get this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today. And bless my heart. So it receives your word today. Because I admit my ways and my thoughts not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed, to be made new. Amen, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what we're here for, y'all. That's what we come to church for. That's what we do at Bible class. That's what we do at home study. It is all about change. Amen. It is all about change. If you listen to Dr. Tony Evans this morning, he talked this morning about truth. But he talked about maturity. He talked from Ephesians chapter 4. He talked about growing up. Dr. Tony Evans said, so you can probably get mad at him. I don't have his email address, but you can email it. Amen. He said that if you still cuss like you did when you got saved, then you ain't grown up yet. You're just a baby. Still a baby. Amen. You're still acting like a child. So we come to church so the Lord can show us a different way to live, his way of living. We all got our way. Amen. And we real entrenched and stuck in that candy. But he wants us to change, right? So James is writing again to Christians who are scattered all over the Roman province, all over the Roman world. They were Jews, but now they've become Christians. And he knows that James himself is called James the Just, and he is called that because of his strict adherence to Judaism. So he's writing to like-minded people who are like him. And it's the same thing that I just said to you. When we come to Christ, he doesn't want to just save our souls, amen, and fit it for the sky. He wants to change the way we live. Change the way we think. That's what Romans talks about. You're transformed by reading God's word. And when it challenges your thinking, you get rid of your thinking and adopt his thinking. And that is what causes us to grow. That's when we can say we are spiritually maturing. When it's less of us and more of him. Amen? So James is writing to these new Christians who are living all over the Roman provinces, who have come from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of schools of thought. And he is telling each and every one of them, even though all of us are different, God gives us one word. One Bible, not a Bible for Cliff, not a Bible for Jeff, not a Bible for Ed, not a Bible for Mark, amen? But one Bible for all of us. And no matter what we're like or who we are, it says the same thing, means the same thing. So James wants them to collectively come together on one page and think one way about God. This is how we live for it. Like the song says, this is how we fight our battles. I know how we used to fight our battles. You know, cuss somebody out, slap them, beat them up. Amen, or worse, right? But now Jesus says, when somebody offends you, turn the cheek, right? Be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Perfect in forgiveness. Perfect in mercy. Perfect in kindness. Perfect in gentleness. Perfect in self-control. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about literally becoming perfect in this life. But when somebody asks you for help, be perfect in help. Amen? So James says to them, he starts out with two things in chapter 1. How to endure as a Christian. If you're a Christian, and when you start going through things in life, and in this life, Jesus said we would have what? Pastor Terrence Tate preached about that yesterday on Blog Talk Radio. We will have trials and tribulations. We will have things that try us and things that trouble us. So James says to these Christians, this is how you endure. Amen? He tells them to count it all joy when you face all kinds of trials and tribulations. Why? Because God's going to use it like the workouts that I work out 3 times a week. I'm now up to 300 pounds, 50 reps. I'm now up to 50. It didn't start out like that. It was 5 minutes and I was praying not to die on the exercise bike. Then it was 5 reps and I thought my arms was going to pull off. Amen. So it didn't start there. But over time, it got there. Okay? So God uses, amen, the devil like exercise equipment. He uses the trials and tribulations that we face like exercise equipment. They make us stronger. They make us have more energy. Right? They make us have a better quality of life. Right? So that's what the Lord does. So when you face all kinds of trials, he said, rejoice. Because God's using that to make you a better Christian, a stronger Christian, a more mature Christian. Amen? So he says, but you need wisdom. Get wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to every man liberally, and he won't get mad if you ask him for wisdom. What kind of wisdom? Wisdom how to live this life as a Christian. We need to learn how to live the Christian life in an unchristian world. And God's word is the only word on earth that will tell us how to do that. So get into God's word and you'll get the wisdom that you need to get through the tough times. Now, what a lot of us like to do in the second part of chapter 1, he talks about don't just be a hearer. Hear what God say, hear the sermon, hear the Bible class, hear what you're reading at home, but do it. Amen? Don't just hear 2 + 2 = 4 when the test comes and it says 2 + 2 is, you write 4. Right? Amen? But if you don't pay attention to the teaching, when the test comes, 2 + 2 = 4, you're not going to know the answer. And it's the same way with us. When the Lord allowed, when the devil goes to him, now look, when Job had these problems in his life, amen, the thing that he feared the most, the devil sought permission slips from God to go attack Job in all those areas. Amen. Job said it out of his own mouth, the thing I feared the most in 3:23, the thing I feared the most has happened to me. And so if you backtrack and look what happened to him, he lost all his money. Lost his whole family except his wife. Lost the respect of the friends and the community. Everything God said he had, he lost it all. All he had left was his faith in God. And that's what kept him going. Faith is knowing what God said and doing it. Nothing else is faith. Not knowing what God said, that's not faith. Faith is knowing what, and you don't want to have crazy faith. I'm believing God for this. Did God say you could believe him for that? If not, that's crazy faith and it ain't going to work. Amen? It sounds good. I got crazy faith. Well, that don't work. God says, I said this about that. Right? So faith is, I heard God say this, I'm doing that. So he says, don't be a hearer of the word. Right? But a doer. Okay? And that's what the Lord wants for us to be, not just hearers, because we hear a lot of sermons, we hear a lot of Bible classes, but how much of that stuff do we do? Every sermon, every Bible class that the Lord knows you heard some of it, he's going to test you on what you heard. Not so he can know, so you can know where you are in him, where you are in your growth toward maturity. He summed it up by saying this. Look continually into the word of God to give us freedom. Don't forget what you heard. Do it. You'll be blessed in everything that you do. Notice how the onus is on you. It's on us. If we look into the word of God, so that means you got to look in there. Right? And that means you're going to have to continue looking in there. That means when you look in there and you see what God says, you're going to have to do what's written in there. Then and only then will you be blessed in what you do. Amen? That's the deal God makes with us. He wouldn't make a deal with us that we couldn't keep. He wouldn't ask us to do something we can't do. In chapter 2, he says, stop having favorites. Stop saying Nicole is dressed sharp this morning. She can come on up to the front. Plus, she give a lot of money at church. She can come to the front. Sarah, she got to sit in the back. She don't give a whole lot of money. Plus, she ain't got no problem. We don't even hardly know who she is, so she needs to sit in the back. The Lord says, stop being a respecter of persons. If God is not a respecter of persons and don't have no picks and choosers, who are we to have picks and choosers? Are we greater than God? God could not choose all of us. Amen? Because he's God and he's holy. He's absolutely holy. And we tore up from the floor. But yet we got the nerve, like my pastor used to say, we get 2 nickels. Above what we need to pay a bill. Now we're looking down on somebody. Amen. That's how it is. We get a car, certain people can't even get in it. We got people who can't borrow nothing from us. You can't get nothing from me. I don't understand how you can become a Christian, amen, and hate like that. God's not like that. People with leprosy came to Jesus. And he healed them. People who was blind came to Jesus. And he healed them. There was a man in John chapter 5. This man had a real bad attitude. He had been laying on the ground for 38 years. And Jesus said to him, and he said, you want to be whole? You want to be made whole? This nasty little attitude talking about, every time the angel comes stirring the water, no nobody around here trying to help me. Nobody helped me. Can you imagine that? You got such a nasty attitude that for 38 years, nobody tried to help you. They saw your situation. But something was wrong with that man, because when Jesus did finally heal him, Jesus said, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing happen to you. He must have been some kind of character. But Jesus healed him. Amen? Jesus healed him in spite of. He healed them. So who are we to have picks and choosers? The Bible still says it. I believe John 3:16 said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, it looked drinked it out of. I was like, okay. Hey, I ain't got no picks and choosers, but I ain't about to drink nobody else water. Hey, amen. COVID and monkeypox. Ain't about to give me no monkeypox. It don't come from drinking. Huh? Yeah, I heard how you get it. I'm like, oh, I ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah, right.
Monkeypox. I'm telling you. The devil be coming with some stuff, don't he? I'm going to give him all monkeypox. Oh, Jesus. That boy, he going to get a permission slip. Next thing you know, people got monkeypox. He already got his down there in the pandemic, and he going to throw monkeypox on top of it. Amen. Amen. So we shouldn't have picks and choosers, right? And then we should have, if you heard the sermon I preached last week on Blog Talk Radio on my off day, amen, on my off day, it said faith that works, right? Faith that works. So James told him, look, you need to have faith that works. You can't say I got faith and don't do nothing. You don't witness to nobody. You don't help teach somebody in Christ. You don't help somebody who need help, you know, outside the body of Christ. James gave him an example. He said, if you go by, you see homie hungry, right? And you say, I'm a Christian, homie. I'm praying for you. In the name of Jesus, be warmed and filled and have plenty. And then walk away. James says, what kind of faith is that? Will that save anybody? Is homie hungry and stomach gonna stop growling?
No, it ain't. But what you want to do is stop judging them. You don't know how people end up on that corner. Now look, God is not obligated to take care of people who won't work, right? The Bible clearly says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So if you're able-bodied, okay, and you ain't crazy, God expects you to have a job. Because you... It is not right for us to take what somebody else has earned and try to live off that. See, June wanted to help out. June wanted to help out. She wanted to read something. She wanted to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Amen. She wanted to help out. She wanted to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And she's going to read something over there. She's going to start reading a couple of verses above verse 10. And then read till I'll tell you to stop. See, because she just wanted to help out. It was in the spirit. I heard it in the spirit. The spirit said, Pastor O, I'll help you out. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Amen. See, start a couple of verses above that conversation where he talks about not working it, all that kind of stuff.
Starting 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting at verse 6. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition they receive from us. For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We work hard day and night so we would not be a burden to any of you. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. More. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat.
That's the Lord's word. And how many people are we taking care of that refuse to work? Amen? So James says we need to have faith that works. Amen? It's one thing to know what God said, but it's in that regard. Not do want to help us out some more. Now she want to tell us what the Lord said about how we should work. But she just want to preach this morning. If I was y'all, I'd send an email. I got an email address. Go ahead to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to the end. We talked about faith that works again, even though I preached it last week. We're talking about it again. Praise the Lord. Allegiance, I got to do what he tells me. She wasn't here last week. Hallelujah. That's why we're doing it again. All this is because of Allegiance, y'all. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's her fault. Colossians chapter 3, 22 to the end. Now, don't let the word slaves upset you. Take that word and flip it to employee, and the master flip that to employer.
Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done. For God has no favor.
Amen. Wow, God has no favorites. Here we are with that again. And we got favorites. Well, I'll hang with them, Cliff. They ain't on my level. Jesus is like, well, you can't hang with me because you sure ain't on my level. Woo! Amen. So the Lord says faith that works means on my job, I work like I work for Jesus and not my boss. That means if I talk about my boss, who am I talking about? Ooh, that means if I work only when they looking at me, who am I fooling? Exactly, because you ain't fooling Jesus. He knows. So this is what I mean when James says faith that works. Amen. You can say you got faith, oh really? Then I'm going to come to your job and ask your boss how you work on the job. What kind of employee are you? They should tell me about your faith. They should tell me they're here on time every day. And if they're not, they call and make sure I know. They should tell me, oh, I don't have to watch them. I know they're going to do their job right. Because they got faith. They go to church. Amen? So that's what it means. Faith has to happen in the details of life. A man once gave me a book, a deacon, at my home church. And it says, Walking with Jesus in the Details of Life. Amen. I love that book. The man who gave me that book, Dad, owed me money. But amen. Praise the Lord. He didn't read the book. Amen. Just thought I should have it. Ain't that something? Ain't we something? I'm going to give you the book, Marcus, but I ain't doing it. Lord have mercy. I'm going to get all over you about it, but I ain't doing it. I think they call that a hypocrite, don't they? Yeah, because that's more than a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. Amen. Now in chapter 3, he says, watch that mouth. Watch the mouth. The tongue. Let Jesus use your tongue. And when Jesus ain't using your tongue, 1 John 1:9. Amen. When you get through using your tongue, 1 John 1:9, right? Ask the Lord to forgive you for you said it. And you know, if you said it, if you said a loving thing out of love, amen, then it wasn't in love. You know how we like to clean it all up by, I said it in love. Let the words that come out of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. So we need to be conscious that Jesus is listening to the words that are coming out of our mouth. Amen. Now some folks, now you want to know, if you're immature, you'll say anything. Anything you want to say. Why? Because you ain't that close to Jesus. That don't mean you're not saved. Don't let the devil trick you into believing because you cuss a lot, you ain't saved. Don't let the devil convince you to believe that because you got a nasty, foul attitude, you ain't saved. That just means you haven't turned none of that over to Jesus yet. Turn that mouth over to Jesus. Be conscious about what you're getting ready to say and how it's going to reflect on Him. If you love Him, then be concerned. Just like our parents told us, when you go out, told us, when you go outside and act crazy like that, that reflects on us.
Yes. It makes us look like we're bad parents. Yeah. So you make God look like He's a bad, especially if you go about bragging how much a Christian you are, and then you start cussing like a drunken sailor. Amen. You make God look bad. Or using your mouth to trash people. How do you fix your mouth to trash somebody Jesus got on the cross for? Jesus suffered the passion for them, and you trash them. What's wrong with you? Huh? Is what Jesus supposed to learn that? Jesus supposed to say, oh, that's you had to tell them that. You have, I understand. No, you don't. You make him a man. You belittle the cross. You belittle the cross of Christ. Oh, the batteries went out. There's some batteries in that case back there.
Oh, there you go. Well, bad up. Well, it's telling me the batteries are bad.
He's that kind of person. You make people say, see, that's why I don't even want to be a Christian. Because if that's how Jesus acts, then I don't want nothing to do with him. If Jesus is like you, then I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. We are a direct reflection of who he is. The Bible says that we're made in the image and likeness of God. Amen? So when we're cussing people out and going off of them and saying all kinds of manner of evil against them, are we in the likeness of God? Are we in the image of God? Are we holy and right like God? No, that's us. We're still being us is a sign of spiritual immaturity. So James says, watch your mouth. How many marriages have been tore up because of the mouth? How many relationships that could have became marriages tore up because of the mouth?
Probably a lot.
Amen. Everything that I just named, that's how it happens. People start talking, and before you know it, we're saying things that we have to ask forgiveness for. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Oh, you meant to say it. You just, amen. It came out, and you meant to say it, right? But what you need to do is track that. Why did I say that, Jesus? Control my tongue, Jesus. Help me to be conscious about the words that's coming out of my mouth. Now in James chapter 4, he makes an invitation. He says, draw close to God, and God will come near to you. He also explains why life is like it is. From whence comes wars or quarrels and fightings among you? Don't they come from your own desires on the inside? You want what others have and you don't have it. So you scheme on how to get it. Amen? James says, don't you know that to be friends with this world is to be an enemy with God? James says, God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes those who become Christians and live apart from his word. You don't want God opposing you. You want God on your side. But God ain't on your side if you ain't living according to his word. Check all the 3,300 promises in the Bible. Every one of them say, if you, then I will. How many of us even know how many promises that are available to us in the Bible? Not all 3,300 are. But God says, if you do, I will. God says, stop being friends with this world. June read to us from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, told us not to be friends with this world, not to love the things of this world. Why? Because the things of this world are not from God, but from this world. The things of this world are going to pass away when you do, but only what you do for the Lord is going to follow you to heaven. Amen? Only what you do for the Lord is going to follow you to heaven. So James says, get into those things. Amen? Stop chasing. See, that's retarded Christianity. That's Christianity working backwards. If you're chasing things, you can tell when you're a retarded Christian. That means you're doing it backwards. When you don't have no time for church, you don't have no time for Bible class, you don't have no time for home study, you don't have no time to do anything God did because you're spending all your time trying to get the stuff God made, that's retarded Christianity. Straight up Christianity works like this, Matthew 6:33, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means his authority and his kingdom rule over us. Seek that, allow that to happen, right? And his likeness, his kingdom and his likeness, or his righteousness, right? His right way of thinking, acting, and doing. In other words, living your life according to what? His word. Amen? Then the stuff that you're chasing will do like Deuteronomy says. If you fully obey, chapter 28, fully obey and carefully follow all these commands I've given you today, then the blessings will run you down and overtake you. You moving for the Lord, blessings got to catch up with you. Oh, and they catch up. You read those first 14 verses in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings catch up. But you have to be running for the Lord. We're running for Christ. That name is intentional. And notice it's not running for Christ. It's not runners for Christ. It's runner. That's you. That's me. It keeps it single, yet collective. All of us collectively belong to this church, right? But all of us individually run for Jesus. We run for it every single day. James says, draw near to God. Here's how. First thing you want to do is humble yourself under him. That means you willingly put yourself under God. You erase all your thoughts of what you want to do, what you think, right? You erase that. And you do what God wants you to do. If you are not doing what God said to do in your life, then you have not humbled yourself under Him. Have you humbled yourself under God in your finances? If not, then amen. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and guess what? The next step is resist the devil. Humble yourself under God. Then you can do what? Resist the devil, and guess what he'll do? He'll flee from you. Jesus was out in the wilderness. How do we know he was humbled under God? Because right after his baptism, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 4, he was led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Who else do we know was led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness? The children of Israel. But did they humble themselves under God? Did they make it to the promised land? He says, humble yourself under God. When Jesus was led into the wilderness, he didn't get mad at God. He said, wait a minute, I just got baptized. Usually people go to dinner. Where my dinner at? When we baptize people, usually we go out and eat. Jesus is like, where my dinner at? I ain't got no, what do you mean going to the wilderness? Where the lunch at? Where the water at? Where the bathroom at? Where I'm going to wash up? Where the wash rag at? He was out there 40 days and 40 nights with no bathroom. No wash rag. No soap. No beard to be, no shaver for his beard. 40 days and 40 nights. What do you think Jesus was like when the devil showed up? What would you be like after 40 days and 40 nights? No food, no water. You can't sleep at night because of nocturnal creatures is running around looking for something to eat. Amen? And you can't get no cool in the daytime because of nocturnal creatures is in the shade trying to keep, amen, cool. So you just woke all night and hot all day. And there's no food and there's no water and here come the devil. But Jesus humbled himself under God. Why? Holy Spirit led him to the wilderness. A lot of us in the wilderness, but the Holy Spirit ain't led us there. We went there. And we out there like the children of Israel. We're not humbled under God. You're not having a good time in life. The devil came at Jesus and said, if you the Son of God, that word if you, he knew who Jesus was. He kicked him out of heaven. See how the devil is, Malachi? Thought, if you the Son of God. But he was humbled under God, Carrie. He couldn't do that. Jesus was like, ooh, if it wasn't for my daddy, I'd slap the skin straight off your, you ain't even got no face to your spirit, but ooh, I'd give you one to slap it off. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that's in Deuteronomy. Then the devil, you know what he told him to do? If you're Jesus, then jump off this building. And people are going to know you're Jesus. You know your Father got you, right? The angel's going to keep your feet from even hitting the ground. You're going to come down like a little killer. Jesus went to the Bible. See, even the baby back there like, Jesus don't jump, Jesus don't jump. Amen. Even the baby like, don't jump, Jesus don't jump. Amen. He ain't gonna jump, baby. He'll be all right. Jesus told the devil from Deuteronomy again. He said, thou shalt not put God to the test. You know how people put God to the test? Yeah, they're gonna open up a business, right? Get all the trimmers and everything, and then they say, Jesus, not bless my business. Really? Shouldn't you have done that before you started the business? Amen. Then the devil came to him, and he get a lot of us with this one. If you don't go to church, if you don't go to Bible class, if you don't go to Sunday school, if you don't do no home Bible study, I'll give you all this. That's what he told Jesus. If you just come out from humbling yourself under God, I'll give you all this. And Jesus told him, man, shall only worship who? God. And him only. And what did the devil do after Jesus kept giving him the word of God? He left him alone. James says, if you humble yourself under God, if you resist the devil because you're under God with his word, guess what the devil gonna do? Run. He cannot stand that, Marissa. If you stand on the word of God and he knows you're not gonna move, he don't wanna be embarrassed again trying to mess with you like he did Job and get embarrassed in front of all this little dirty, nasty angel that got kicked out of heaven with him. You know, Amir, you know they was like, dude, that human being just slapped you. He just mopped the floor with you, man. Dude, say what's up, dude. You weak. You weak. You let a human being, he didn't even have a gun or a knife or nothing, and he just slapped you, dude. What happened? You know the devil was embarrassed because all these little crappy angels who followed him out of heaven, they watch it. And they say, oh, the devil finna tear him up. The devil finna tear him up. After it was over, the devil was like, shut up, don't nobody say nothing. I'm still a king. So what? I couldn't beat that little man. He was a big man, though. No. Job ain't even have a whole Bible. Job ain't, he a Genesis character. Could he didn't even have a whole Bible. Now, if a man who didn't even have a whole Bible could do that to the devil, what is wrong with us today? Well, we got a whole Bible. We got all the words of God that he ever going to speak to mankind. We got them all. The devil down here got us on the end of a mop just with dirty water. Just, amen. Amen. So James said, if you want to get close to God, humble yourself under God. You ain't close to God if you ain't humble under him. No. That does not mean you are not saved. It just means you need to come closer to God. James says, wash your hands, you sinners, like the priests would do before they went into the temple. And he says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. God knows if you believe in him or him and something else or somebody else. God does not allow us to have any person, place, thing, or thought above him. And God knows if you do, you can act in front of people how you want to. But the Lord knows you. You know, in John chapter 2, they came and they said, Jesus! After he fed, made the wine and said, Jesus! Be our king, Jesus! That's what it is outside the window hollering. First, you know what he told them? Oh, I don't need nobody to talk to me about man because I made man. I know what's in man. Jesus knows what's in us. We, you know, we get so fake with each other, we come up on him to be fake. And Jesus, like, talking to the angels, be tapping them like, for real? For real? They don't think I know. So what he'll do is he'll allow the devil to come check your fakeness. Yeah, where you say you this way at, Jesus know that ain't good for you, you're being fake. So what he allow the devil to do is come check your, if you got fake faith, you're going to be dealing a lot with the devil and them demons. Most of us don't have to deal with the devil because he goes after the uppity ups. He want to run the world, so he had to go after world leaders. But he got a third of the demons that fell from heaven, and they just as nutty as he is. And he is a pseudo leader. So he tells them, I want you to get on Mariah. That's what I want you to do. Go down there, wreck her. Go down there, wreck Carrie. Go down there, wreck Sarah. Wreck Tamika. Wreck them all. But he hasn't been able to do that through your whole life. Why? Because God's kept him off of you. But he uses him, amen, to bring you close to him. Because the only way you can get close to God, most of us get close to God because we're running from the devil. When he scared you good enough, you'll run to Jesus. Amen. You will run to Jesus. You will go find Jesus where you at. Wow, I ain't even know where it is. But anyway, in chapter 4, the latter part of chapter 4, he talks about us judging one another. Amen. We talked about that. He talks about that again in chapter 5, about us mumbling against each other. Remember, the next time you put your mouth on a Christian, you're talking about somebody Jesus died for. So you need to have a different conversation about them. Yeah, they this. Yeah, they that. But that ain't none of your business. Look, Philippians 1:6 does not say that Tamika began a good work in Pastor O, and she gonna carry it out to people. No, they didn't say that. It said Jesus started working on me when he found me. And Jesus gonna keep working on me till he get me home, where I'll be perfect. But in this life, he's gonna be working on me. Just like all of us, we have a house, right? We have a car, right? We have clothes, right? Gotta constantly iron them. I was in the basement this morning, because I switched up, and I didn't want to put my wife through it, so I went down there and ironed the shirt I got on.
Amen.
But it was new, but it had to be ironed. So just because we're born again don't mean we ain't got wrinkles that need to be ironed out. Jesus is going to iron the wrinkles out, because he knows how to get them out. Sometimes I iron wrinkles in. I'm not good at it, Carrie. I be ironing them. I get the shirt, and, well, Jesus, where'd that come from? He's like, you iron that crease in there. Amen. But he knows how to get it nice and flat. You know, Martinizing don't do that. When I get my, well, then again, amen. Jesus knows how to get the wrinkles out, right? So he says, that's not your job, Ed. You don't have to trash nobody. That ain't your job. Jesus goes, I pray for people. My neighbors snorting cocaine, drinking beer, and they were staying up all night, and I had to get up and go to work in the morning. So I prayed on them that Jesus would burn the house down and make the supporting beam just fall out and the whole house fall. Just boom, you know. But he didn't do that. And I got ready to pray on them, Mary, and you know what he told me? He said, don't pray on them, pray for them. I don't pray on people. I ain't no lion. The devil goes about like a lion seeking somebody. I don't do that. I want to save people. My name is Jesus. Pastor, what does it mean? He saves. So pray for me to save them. So I started praying for them to get saved, for them to get right with Jesus. The next thing I know, all kinds of things went crazy over there. The house emptied out, and me and Cecil was coming home one day, and a tractor was over there tearing it down. So I bought the property so nobody else knew it. Praise the Lord. Amen. But when I started praying for them to be like Jesus wants them to be, the devil is like, oh, they got to go. They got to move. I've been working a long time. Just as hard as Jesus is working on us to get us right, the devil working on people to keep them crazy. James says, don't be presumptuous. Presumptuous saying, tomorrow we're going to do this, and then the next day we're going to do that. He says, you know, your life ain't even that long. Your life is like a breath. It comes and it goes. Okay, your life is a mist. A mist don't last very long. Once it's spread out, it just spreads out and disperses. So he says, who are you to say what you're going to do when you get up in the morning? I'm the one to get you up in the morning. You don't know if I'm going to get you up in the morning. And we looked at this man over in Luke 12, right? He said, I'm going to build bigger barns because God didn't really bless me. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And then the angel showed up and said, dude, I heard what you just said, and I really hate to be here, but we got to go tonight. And then the Bible asked a real strange question. All that stuff that he was laboring for and all that stuff that he had laid up for himself, who's going to get that now? Amen? So he says, don't be presumptuous. And then he closes chapter 4 out by saying this. I'm probably going to need 5 minutes here. He closed it out by saying this, when we know what's right to do and we don't do it, that's sin. So if you understood any part of this sermon and you don't put it into practice, you're in open rebellion against God. Why? Because you know the truth and refuse to do it. Amen. Chapter 5, he talks to them rich people. And we talked about that in the last installment, right?
Yeah.
He told rich people, look, your wealth is rotting. Your clothes are rotting. Your silver is rotting. Your gold is corroding. What does that mean? Hoarding. You're hoarding and you're stingy. You got all of this stuff. It's going to waste. You can't use it and you won't give it to nobody else. Now, he also talked about folks who was rich enough to hire people, but wasn't paying them right. That's what's wrong in our world today. 4.5 million people left the workforce because they really didn't have to work. They was working for whatever extra money reason. So 4.5 million gone. Over a million died from COVID. That's 5.5 million out of the workforce. The only way you're going to get these people to come back into the workforce is pay them more. See, these people in a Fortune 500 company, the average CEO makes $11 million or more a year. The average worker in that same Fortune 500 company makes $33,000 a year. How fair is that? Oil companies today, we complain about the high price of gas, and you go into the gas station, and the gas station owner tell you, he don't make money off gas, he make money off the stuff he sell in the store. The only people who are profiting, make by billions off of this oil, are the oil producers. And they don't want to increase the amount that they push out. Why? Because they want to make money. So you and I have to spend all of our money, right, trying to keep up with their prices. And then all of these other stores, all of these big giant name stores, raising prices like that. I ran a business for 25 years. You don't have to go, when something happens, if you got 500 customers and you raise your price $1, how much extra money did you just make? Exactly. So imagine that on a company that has stores all around the world, and they just raise prices $1. How many billions do they make? And yet they've gone through the roof. What it used to be $5 is $10. So they're gouging. And our government is so inept. That's why you have to pray for them continuously. They are so inept, they just allow it to happen. The Supreme Court just said that our government can't even, through the EPA, can't even regulate fossil fuels anymore. In other words, oil companies get to keep polluting as much as they want to and make the biggest profit as they want to, even though most of us live in areas where Marathon is. Yeah. And we have to breathe that. Marathon is not in a gated community. It's in your community. And our government allows that. And they just allowed them to pollute even more. So James says, look, you rich people, God is watching you. Okay, when you have an employee, you could have two employees. If you're not paying them right, God watching you. Because you're using them to enrich yourself. You need to share the wealth. That's what God does. God created this whole world and did what? Gave it to Adam and Eve. So he gives a warning to the rich. And then he tells us, as I'm coming to a close, he tells us that be patient while you're waiting on Jesus. Don't do it. In 2 Peter chapter 3, you get a chance, you read that. People are saying that, where's Jesus? You said Jesus was coming back. But Jesus warned us about that. He said in Matthew 24, if we begin to say that our master is delaying his coming, and we begin to eat and drink with the drunkards and treat those that Christ has put under us shamefully, then when Jesus comes back, he'll tear us to pieces. Amen? So James says, be patient while you're waiting on Jesus to come back. And don't say, Jesus is taking too long to get back, so I'm just going to turn up unresponsibly. Okay? You turn up responsibly, but not unresponsibly. So Jesus says, be patient while you, and stay busy. Still go to Jerusalem, still go to Judea, still go to Samaria, still go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Again, in Matthew 24, the Lord says, blessed is he whom when his master returns, finds them doing what they were supposed to be doing. When Jesus comes back, how many people have you led to Christ? When Jesus comes back, how many people have you taught in Christ? When Jesus comes back, how many people have you helped in or outside the body of Christ? That's what's going to matter. Old folks told us, only what you do for Christ, mother, that's what's going to last. That's what's going to last. So get into that. Then he tells us, if any of us are suffering hardships, we should do what? Pray. Amen? If any of us are happy, then don't be ashamed to turn up and rejoice. Because you're happy, and ain't nothing wrong with being happy. Life does get good sometimes. And ain't nothing wrong with celebrating and having fun responsibly. Okay? Amen? Then he says, if any are sick, then they should call for the elders. It never ceases to amaze me how many people come up to me and say, you didn't even come to see me when I was in the hospital. I'm like, when did you go to the hospital? Last week. What do you thought? Jesus told me? Did you pick up the phone and say, Pastor, I'm in the hospital? Keela, when Keela go to the hospital, if Keela don't call me, somebody call me and say, Keela in the hospital. She don't wait for Pastor O to magically know. Amen. I'm in the hospital, and let's pray. She'd get on the phone and call me herself, Pastor. I can't even hardly talk. I'm about to die. I'd say, let's pray. Amen. She won't be playing. She won't be coming back to church and let me see her face like, yeah, that's how I mean. That's the face taking. Okay, time up. No, she tells. Amen. And then it says, they'll come and anoint you with oil, and those who are sick will get well. And if they have sinned, their sins will be forgiven. Amen. That is the power of prayer. You heard June read it. Elijah. I like how she put that emphasis on that. Elijah prayed because God told him in Deuteronomy that if my people, or Solomon said it when he was dedicating the temple, I think that's 2 Kings 10 or somewhere around there, Samuel or something, Kings 10. Anyway, Solomon was told by God that if his people start sinning and God withholds the rain, now I want you to show you how faith and faith praying God's word back to God works. So now Elijah is having to deal, this is years later, Elijah is having to deal with Ahab, right? And so God wants to teach the children of Israel a lesson. He tells Elijah to pray that no rain fall, based on God's word that God spoke through Solomon. Solomon prays, Elijah prays that it don't rain. He's just a human being like you or me. But he read what God said. He prayed what God said. And guess what, Rebecca? It did not rain for 3.5 years. And then God said over there, but if my people called by my name turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, then I'm going to what? Restore, right? So after 3.5 years, God told him to pray. And guess what, Jeff? He prayed, boom, it started raining. If God is not a respecter of persons, won't he do the same thing for you when you pray? Won't he do the same thing for you? Amen. And lastly, Galatians tells us this in chapter 6 and verse 1. If we see a brother or a sister overtaken, full-blown in sin, those of us who are not yet currently overtaken and in full-blown sin, two things he wants us to do. Number one, he wants us to restore. That's what he wants us to do. So when we see somebody in sin, think restoration. Now your motivation or your method is gentle. Restore them gently, considering yourself. If it wasn't for the grace of God, it could be me. Amen? Amen. Excuse me. And so, that is the book of James. I don't want to say this, but the Lord wants me to say it. Do you see how the Lord have imprinted that book in my head? We just went through 5 chapters of the book of James. I don't have a good memory. You might think I do, but I have what John 14:26 talks about. That Holy Spirit will bring back to you, just like he did him. When he heard me say that, he knew exactly what I was talking about. He didn't think that up himself. The Holy Spirit brought it to his remembrance because he read it. And that's why I love preaching these books, because I internalize these books. The Holy Spirit did that thing with me through the whole Old Testament. But it takes years and it takes time. And you got to spend a lot of time with God. And the Lord wants us to be close to him. He wants us to live victorious lives. Amen. He wants people to see our light. Yes. He wants people to see our light shining so bright that they see the good deeds that we do. And they give glory to God. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for giving us your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that everything we've heard about the book of James, we internalize and put it into practice. And Lord, when we recognize there's a part of our life that is not under your word, help us to humble ourselves under you. That way we can resist the temptations of the devil. And we can cause him to leave. He should not be around our house all day. Everywhere we go, we should not be running into him and getting harassed by him or them stupid demons that follow him around. But when he sees us coming, Jesus, it ought to be like when they saw you coming. They said, Jesus, we know you, who you are. And Jesus, they weren't talking about that body you were in because they had never seen that body until you came here. But they were talking about, we know who you are, Son of the Most High God. They knew you from your position in heaven, from your person in heaven. And so when people see us, it's not about us, but it's about what Pastor Terrence Tate kept saying in his sermon yesterday. Greater is he that's in me than the devil and all these demons in the world. You told us if we humble ourselves under you, you told us if we resist the devil according to your word, that he would flee from us. And you told us, Father, if we would come near to you, you would come near to us. You told us we need to wash our hands. You told us we need to purify our heart and only trust, lean, and rely on you. And you will make your abode with us. Father, we thank you for loving us just because you want to. If we had to deserve your love, we wouldn't have it. If you told us, like Adam and Eve, to just do one thing, we'd mess it up and be out of relationship with you. But we thank you for sending your son, Jesus. And all we had to do was just believe your report concerning your only begotten son, and we're saved. Not because we did anything special other than what you told us to do. By faith, we believed you, and by faith, you saved us. And then you asked us to grow up, to become mature, so that we can show ourselves approved unto you, so that we could not be ashamed because we don't know your word, so that we could become those who rightfully divide this word of truth, so that you could use us to lead people to you, teach people in you, and give us a big enough heart like yours to help folks in or outside the body of Christ. Lord God, our Father, I pray for Pastor Janice Tate, Pastor Jonathan Tate, and all who travel with them. Give them your grace and favor where they are. Make a way for them. And Lord, keep them safe until they return here to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. They still got food stamps. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, when you run out of cliches. Oh, that's what happens when you run out of cliches. They still got food stamps, huh? What kind of son is
Hey, good morning. Is this on? Hey, y'all.
Okay. So. I just feel like I'm going to try to read it like you read it. Okay, y'all. So this is an announcement that June wrote, and I'm going to try to read it in June's voice, even though June is here, and it would be better in June's voice. So it says, hey, you. Yeah, I'm speaking to you. Am I getting that right? Okay. Supporters of Running for Christ Ministries. Do you want to share all that Run for Christ Ministries has to offer? Yes? Then do I have an opportunity for you, so listen up. June Rogers, Deaconess June Rogers, is trying to put together a team to plan and execute an open house to take place before the summer is over. Imagine this, a festive atmosphere of food, fun, and fellowship in the church parking lot. We envision spaces set up for our ministers to share the gospel, biblical games, and a clothing giveaway, just to mention a few. We can invite representatives from local schools and voting advocates for on-site registration. The only limitation to this outreach event is your God-inspired imagination. If you want to be part of this, please contact June immediately. A sign-up sheet is already on the back table, free, over there by where she is, over there. She got the, right there, clipboard, ink pen, all ready for you. So sign up on the sign-up sheet, okay? But please act quickly so we can make this a reality. If you have been wanting to get involved more in this ministry, well, here is your chance. Remember what God's position is. 1 Peter 4 and 10 says that God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Thank you, and I look forward to this time of being doers of the word, a glory to God and celebration of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So sign up on the clipboard in the back so we can see what's up.
Thank you, thank you. That's exciting news.
Thank you.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all until we all meet again. Amen.